This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Final hour, fist pump time. Get it in your car.
Yes, sir.
Get it in the gym. Get it wherever you're listening here.
Yeah.
To DFW Sports Station. Sean Treif, RJ Choppy. We got Peyton Russell and Aiden in the back. Bobby Belt out sick today. But it's still a loaded Friday edition with basketball fireworks, in my opinion, owning the day in sports. We have Stephen A. Smith against LeBron James. We have Kendrick Perkins against Charles Barkley, and we have Mark Cuban talking in his first sit-down interview about the Luka trade on WFAA. Luka and LeBron going off for 30-plus again last night. The Lakers win their eighth straight over another former Maverick in Jalen Brunson as JB leaves with the rolled ankle. Sean Treif and RJ Choppy with you. Let's start off with Mark Cuban. Sitting down with Channel 8, were you upset about the Luka trade along with that joke of a return?
Yeah, of course. And I've said this before. If the Mavs are going to trade Luka, that's one thing. Just get a better deal. You know, no disrespect to Anthony Davis, but, you know, get three. If I still firmly believe if we had gotten four unprotected number ones and Anthony Davis and Max Christie, this would be a different conversation.
That seems to be one of the criticisms following.
Yeah, but it's not my call, so it doesn't matter.
So that's what we said. Look, you want to have a conversation? That's exactly what we said. You want to have a discussion, a conversation about trading Luka? The Metroplex still would have lost their minds. But the number one crime about this is the return. Or maybe you just think it's giving up a 25-year-old, you know, global superstar. That's probably crime number one. Crime number two is the return.
It's absolutely the return. It's absolutely giving up the global superstar. It's both. You can't do either one, and they did them both. And they put Mark Cuban in a tough spot because he's answering for this. He's having an answer for this. He had nothing to do with it. It's not even his team anymore. Like, he barely has. I mean, he's got a stake, obviously, but he wasn't a decision maker. He's not a decision maker with the team. They ask his opinion. They don't use his opinion. It's a tough spot for him to be in.
Would Cuban have traded Luka, and what's his relationship like with him now?
I'm not going to go there. It doesn't even matter. You know,
I mean, I saw you were at the game, though, in L.A., and I mean, that signifies, and I think you dapped up his dad in
the
stands.
Sasha.
So there's some sort of...
Well, there was a connection. Just because connection. We traded, like, I still talked to Steve Nash. I mean, I went through this before when Steve Nash left and then won two MVPs.
Yeah.
Right? The good news is that we went to the finals and won a championship. So I've been through something, but there wasn't social media back then, so it wasn't quite the same. But, I mean, you're going to make mistakes. And, you know, I think the biggest challenge that the Mavs have right now is there's nobody who's really outgoing to communicate. And it's not so much what you do, it's how you communicate why you do what you do. And that's their challenge without me in front.
Do you think some of that is because they're kind of new to this? I mean, they've been
I think it's just not their nature.
And well, they've been also NBA owners for about a year. And I mean, Nico's been GM for, what, a few years. Yeah. But entirely, that's not a whole lot of experience. Do you feel part of it?
No, they're just not me. Right? You can't expect them to be me where, yeah. When Steve Nash left, I wrote a blog post explaining why, and talking about all these things. I talked about, how we traded for Luka, that's what I did. That was the way I connected to fans. And that's the way I tried to build a connection with fans. They're just not me.
Yeah.
And that's not a bad thing. There's things they're going to do that are better than anything I can do in that regard. I still think it may take longer now, but it'll be okay.
And what Mark is talking about right there is the PR, explaining the move properly, which they've gotten a big fat F minus in. And now you don't have Kyrie to try to speak on your behalf because he's now gone for the season.
Sometimes when you're the owner and you make a move, you don't have to make any statement. Sometimes you don't. You don't have to get on. You have to hold a press conference. You have to do anything. There are other times that when you make one, you really have to do a good job of explaining your thought process. And they tried on that first presser with Nico. They tried. And they failed. So then they tried again. And they failed again. and then their way of explaining was just, you know what? We're just going to float a lot of reasons out there. And we're going to really throw this guy under the bus. And no one's going to buy it, but that's going to be our official stance.
Yep.
And now you're in the situation where you're in right now.
Tolo Skip P sent me the latest from Polymarket Sports. The Nico Harrison fired odds doubled this week.
Oh, wow.
So it has doubled. We'll ask a future question. If they fired Nico this offseason, could that bring you back? What would that save of your Mavs fandom? Mark Cuban, first sit down comments, WFAA.
I'll tell you this. If they fire Nico, I almost think that makes it even worse.
Oh, no.
Because now it's like...
Oh, no.
If you do that, then you're Patrick Dumont, and all this was done for nothing. Because at the end of the day, Nico's record is still like 17-1 in terms of trades. Like, that's his overall record. Now, that one really counts as like 30 losses.
Gafford, PJ, he lost the Grimes one so far.
Yeah. So really? he's on a two-game losing streak.
You could count 17-2. You could count the Luka one for 15.
Right.
You could say that even everything up. But if they
all equal one.
Yeah. Gafford, PJ, Kyrie.
Yep, Kyrie. He's done
Lively.
The Lively draft pick.
Yeah.
Everybody loved the Omax draft pick at the time. Right, so he's got a good track record. He just has butchered these last two deals.
Mark Cuban, do Mavs fans have a right to be this upset over the deal?
Yeah, you're justified however you feel.
Yeah.
What makes sports different than every other industry, Google has, Texas Instruments has a record quarter. Nobody throws a parade. And when you win, if fans are passionate enough to show up in 100-degree weather and line the streets, then you've got to expect when things don't go the way they want, they're going to be just as passionate in response.
So how about some of the Mavs fans who are still upset and they're angry at Cuban for actually selling, and those same Mavs fans, a lot of them, were probably cursing Cuban when people wanted him out of here, especially during this recent election. What does Mark think of the fans who may be mad at him for selling this team over to these new evil people?
They didn't feel that way when we went to the finals last year.
They did not. What would your message to those fans be who feel that,
Father Time's undefeated, right? Father Time's undefeated, so nobody plays forever. And so you go through adjustments, and hopefully Nico and Patrick, have a plan, and they'll make it work.
They haven't consulted you at all throughout any of this.
I have not talked to Nico about it. I said hi to Nico twice after the trade.
Are you going to get back into owning an NBA team?
I mean, if someone makes me a deal, but unlikely.
Talked to Nico once or twice, and of course, the initial reports, Mark begged and pleaded with Nico not to make the move.
And it fell on deaf ears. And it's just, he's not in charge. It was a realization that he's not in charge anymore. This would not have happened if he was here. Now, would, you know, if Mark was in charge of everything, would a lot of the moves have happened? I mean, who knows, right? If Donnie was still here, where would the team be?
Do you think Mark should have vetted the new ownership, asking the unthinkable, unpredictable question probably of, you're never going to trade Luka Doncic, right? That's unreasonable.
That's unreasonable. Right? It's unreasonable. It's
unfair to put that on Mark.
It's like going up to your girlfriend or your, hey, I want to break up with you, but you're not going to date this guy if I do. You can't do that, right? Once you sell the team, you sell the team. It's not yours anymore. You sell your house, you sell your house. You know, if they turn your master bedroom into a
governor's
50 Shades of Grey dungeon, well, you know, what do you care?
Final question for Mark Cuban. Are you mad that you sold the team given what they are now?
Sometimes I get mad and I wouldn't have done this, but no, not really. Because, you know, go back to why I sold. I don't want my kids to end up in this exact position at some level if they made a mistake, right? I mean, literally imagine if I didn't and my kids had taken over and they made a mistake like this.
You didn't want them to go down, you know, the road of owning the
Not
Mavericks
that I didn't
or,
want them.
Or to deal with just, the criticism of it?
It's just social media has changed things dramatically. And they grew up with social media. All their friends are connected to them on social media. And to log in and, you know, scroll through your feed and just see what we're seeing now, mm-hmm. you know, seeing what happened with the Jones family, you know, continuously. I didn't want my kids to go through that. You know, and then there were other things, you know, like you can only scream at the refs and at the league about the refs for so long before it's just like, I'm an idiot.
Most times you would probably love to dream of your children one day owning a professional sports team. Cuban's like, I didn't want this for them. I didn't want the criticism and the backlash.
So I'm trying to think, like,
not the four Billy.
So you got Jeannie Buss, Amy Adams. You have the Steinbrenner kids, or now it's just one, I think.
The Joneses,
Mark Davis. But, you know, Steven hasn't taken over yet. Yeah. Charlotte, wherever.
Well, McClay will.
Right. But which, are any of the children of the owners better than the original?
No Buss, no Steinbrenner. You know, current Mark Davis feels like end of Mark Al Davis, but certainly, you know, early Al, middle Al, legendary. So, no.
Adams, I would say no.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think if there's any other children.
Rooney's.
Oh, the Rooney's. Yeah, I mean, they've been pretty...
But not better.
Not better. They've all been pretty good, right?
Well...
I have to go back and when to see original Rooney past.
Yeah, but no one better.
No.
But that's... Mark not wanting the criticism and the social media backlash that comes with it, apparently. Hmm. So that's Mark Cuban. First sit down, big get by WFAA. Last night, basketball fireworks. LeBron James and Stephen A. Smith having words with each other. The internet thinks LeBron went up to Stephen A. on the sideline and was basically saying, keep my son's name out of your mouth. Stephen A. just addressed it for the first 10 minutes on First Take. And if that was what it was about, my message to LeBron is, yo, man, too bad. Your kid's an NBA player now because of you. You put him on the dartboard. You set him up for us to say, huh, What a free pass. You didn't earn this. Bronny, you're not an NBA player. So if that's what his problem is with Stephen A, too bad, LeBron. But Stephen A just responded to it. And then you have Charles Barkley going off on ESPN's basketball coverage.
The Cleveland Cavaliers have won 12 straight games. The Oklahoma City got the MVP, and they are on fire. Y'all are talking about who's in second place. That's the reason I get pissed. Hey, the Lakers are doing great. I don't mind being wrong. The Warriors are doing great. But Oklahoma City and the Cavs been balling for 6 months. Y'all talking about teams that had two great weeks. First of all, between that and this lame-ass LeBron-Michael Jordan debate, which is lame. I've said for years, the only people talk about LeBron and Michael is people on television who got no talent to talk about anything else. I've been saying that for years. I ain't hanging on to the 90s. I've always said LeBron's great, Michael's great. But y'all talk about it all the time and then got LeBron out there posing, talking about he all mad about being the face of the league. But it makes me mad. The Oklahoma City and the Cleveland Cavaliers are the two best stories in the NBA this year. Congratulations to the Lakers and the Warriors. They've had two good weeks. The Cavs and OKC have had six great months.
Kendrick Perkins responding and defending ESPN. Hey, TNT, might want to tell that senior citizen Charles Barkley that I'll be around. When he sees an idiot or fool in person, make sure he keeps that same energy. I'm going to dress his ass like the numbers on a house. Straight from the 409, homeboy. And we are bar none and fade all. Hashtag Texas boy from Kendrick Perkins. Someone asked Kendrick, is that a physical threat? Kendrick said, nah. It's a promise.
Oh, baby.
Oh, yeah.
We got a promise.
We got a promise. So, man, I roll my eyes at Charles doing. Look, are there a ton of eye-rolling ESPN fake conjured-up topics? Of course there are. Charles talks. He talks one day a week for like 2 hours. And the rest of these people, including us, have 5 days of content to fill. So if Charles had to do it, he'd be talking Lakers and Warriors a lot more Thunder and Cavaliers as well. It's pretty rich for him to sit on his rich throne having to only talk one day a week.
Let's also not act like Charles and Shaq don't old man front yard me, you know, get off my lawn.
Yeah.
The new guys anyway.
All right. So that is the explosive night in the NBA. Are we going to get an explosive trade for the best team in DFW? Today is NHL deadline day, and the Stars are apparently working on a move. Let's cover it next on Sean and RJ.
For Heats in front, score! Robertson! It went off his stick and found the net. And what a fitting finish! The Stars come back and sweep the homestand. 3-2, they beat the Flames in overtime.
Victory plus with the call, 3-2 over Calgary and the Dallas Stars with a dominant, basically perfect homestand. Sean and RJ here on DFW Sports Station 105.3 The Fan, and joining us in studio, our hockey authority host of the Spits and Suds podcast, Gavin Spittle on 105.3 The Fan. Good morning, boss. How are you?
What's up, boys? Big day today. Trade deadline. Here we go.
Can the Stars like be playing any better right now? And I'll ask the cheap PTI around the horn easy question of like, is there any worry that they're peaking too early?
Yes. That's not a silly question.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey. I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you look at Edmonton last year and what they did post January 1st, and they kept that momentum going, yeah. Edmonton was one of the worst teams in the NHL, flipped to this season, and the Stars got off to kind of a slow start. They were just kind of, you know, if the Stars scored 3 goals, it was a big dip. But since January 1st, they are the highest scoring team in the NHL. They are the team with the most wins, so they're on fire. Can they keep this up? What's even more amazing and stick tap to Pete DeBoer, Jim Nill, the organization, is they've been able to do this without two of their superstars for most of the year, and Miro Heiskanen and Tyler Seguin. So it's a great story.
Of the Stars' recent great run, like, where would you put their play right now compared to squads or runs over like the past 3 years? Like, is this the best the Stars have been over the past few seasons?
I think it's the most well-rounded they've been. We have to see the end result, but 2 straight conference finals, now the expectations is conference finals are bust. And the problem is 1 through 8 is a gauntlet in the Western Conference. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Winnipeg has been amazing this year. They could get knocked out in the first round. That doesn't mean they had a bad season. It's just the teams are that good, and parity has entered the league so much. So therefore, I think from a Stars point of view, they are much more consistent than they have been in the past. We're not seeing these roller coaster sweeps. So under Pete DeBoer, they've done a much better job as far as not losing 3 games in a row. So, and that comes down to Jake Oettinger as well. He hates losing back-to-back games. Everyone's talking about the scoring, but our goalie has been really good this year. Mm-hmm. Jake Oettinger won that game last night. Second period, not a lot going on for the Stars, kind of playing, going through the motions, lot more zone time for Calgary. Jake Oettinger came up big. We just don't talk about it because he's so consistent.
What do we learn about the team this next week and a half coming up at Edmonton, at Winnipeg, at Colorado?
Yeah.
Vancouver's thrown in there. Like, that's a really tough 4-game road trip.
Yeah.
What do you learn about the team during that?
I think the Stars have played much better on the road. You don't want to dive too deep into it, RJ, but at the same time, like, Edmonton's the team that knocked you out. So that's kind of a gauge. So going into Edmonton and winning, Vancouver's big just for this reason. Tom Gilardi is based in Vancouver. Okay. A lot of times they do a big team dinner. So anytime they can win in Vancouver, remember, Tom Gilardi, the Stars owner, tried to buy Vancouver. It didn't go through. There was a big lawsuit. So anytime Tom Gilardi can get up on the Canucks, that's a big thing. That trickles down to the team. So Vancouver on Sunday would be great. Yeah, you have to show that you can beat Winnipeg, because right now they're behind them in the Central Division, and that's fine. They are creeping up. But in the games that they've played this year, Winnipeg has been the far better team.
Who would you put in front of the Stars when it came to your winning the Stanley Cup power rankings?
I like the Jets this year. I really do. I know a lot of people are worried about Connor Hellebuck in net. To me, he's the best goalie in the world, so I'm not worried about that. But Winnipeg does have to show that. I think Colorado's much improved. They made some trades. They got Brock Nelson last night. That's a really good trade. That fills their second line center position. So I like that trade. I think Colorado's really good. Washington Capitals, they are on the rebound. Really nice deal in the offseason, picking up Jacob Chychrun. They also have a good goalie now, so I think Washington's going to be really tough to beat. But as I mentioned, parity has entered the NHL. All 16 teams, as crazy as it sounds, have a chance to win.
Is Ovechkin, before we get to the trade, is Ovechkin doing what LeBron is doing, like hockey equivalent? Is he doing less? Is he doing more? Is it the same?
That's,
I mean, he's 39.
Great question.
Thank you.
We brought this up on Spits and Suds. And I was talking to somebody, we did an episode, talked to somebody in the hockey news, and I asked the following. So here's Alex Ovechkin probably breaking one of the all-time sports records. But if I ask you, and I'll ask you guys, would you take Alex Ovechkin or Sidney Crosby?
Crosby.
Okay. Would you take Alex Ovechkin or Nathan MacKinnon? I'd take Nathan MacKinnon, just to let you know.
Okay.
Okay. Leon Draisaitl or Alex Ovechkin. Ooh. That's another tough one, right?
Right.
And who's the other guy? Connor McDavid. Of course you're going to take Connor McDavid. So it's fascinating when you break it down that the guy that's going to break the all-time record isn't necessarily, you know, there with some of the others in the NHL. I think he's a...
Well, you're talking about, I mean... Age factors into
age and tenure.
You're
absolutely
going to take MacKinnon and McDavid easily. I mean, I didn't know you were asking all time, but for right now, moving forward,
it's a great record. It's a great record. I think one of the other things it does is it once again reminds us all how good Wayne Gretzky really was.
So you wouldn't put him in a top 10.
All time?
Yeah.
Yeah, I probably would. You have to, right? You have to. But, I mean, then you break it down and you look at, like, Ken Dryden as a goalie. You look at Bobby Orr. You know, you got to look at Hull. You got to look at Gordie Howe. There's just so many, like, and the game has just probably more than the other four major sports, the game has evolved so much. Totally different game when those guys played.
Gavin Spittle, the Hockey Hawk, here on 105.3 The Fan on NHL trade deadline day.
All right, so let's talk about this trade. It's still pending a extension with Mikko Rantanen.
Yeah. So
who doesn't apparently want to sign with anybody?
Well,
anybody.
Can I expense my phone bill to Finland this morning? So I started making some calls.
Whoa. Are there tariffs there?
Yeah. So I'm listening to the fan and I'm like, Sean Sharif's not the only one that can give insight.
Yes.
So here's what I've learned. Okay. First, let's talk about the player.
Yeah.
All right. The people that I talk to who have been around him says nobody works harder. Nobody wants to be elite more than Mikko Rantanen. Okay. So the two things that he truly wants, and this is why he's being so stubborn. He wants to be with a team if he's going to sign a long-term contract that wants to win. More than a contract, he wants to win cups.
Okay.
So that's
check.
Essential.
Yeah.
Check. Exactly. Yeah.
Mikko and Nico.
Exactly. Second.
Yeah, Nico Harris.
He's not necessarily looking to be the highest paid player, but he wants fair market value. Okay? And when you look at the elites,
10.
we're talking even 13.5, 14 million now. So... you're going to have to make him probably top five paid in the league. So if the Stars can do that, and maybe they can work the no tax situation in Dallas, and that can be the incentive. Here's the other final thing that casual Stars fans need to understand. We call it the Finnish Mafia on Dallas, where you have Heiskanen, you have Hintz, you have Esa Lindell, and you have Granlund, all from Finland. Okay. A lot of those guys played in the Four Nations. Granlund was one of the leaders on that Four Nation team. So we can't discount that. So not only is he coming to a cup contender, if he gets paid and he's going to be around people from his country, that to me looks good. Now, second part, what are we giving up?
Yes.
Because Carolina gave up what I thought was a terrific player. People thought that Colorado got fleeced, and look what Martin Natchez is doing as a Colorado Avalanche. That was actually not a bad trade at all for Colorado. So what are the Stars going to give up? Is it going to be Bork? Is it going to be Stankoven? Is it going to be the defenseman Liam Bischel? It has to be some picks. Or I don't think they give up Wyatt Johnston. To me, he's untouchable. He's that darn good. But We have to think what Carolina gave up. Martin Natchez. Flip it to the opposite side. Carolina really doesn't have a bargaining position because this guy now says, you know what? I don't want to be here. So therefore, you got to get something, and maybe the Stars can offer the best deal.
The text said that Bitchell just got sent down, maybe? There's no way.
Well,
would that have been just to make room?
Yeah. So, what the Stars can do is he is a player that is under control as far as being sent down and up. If you send him down, that's salary cap relief. So you're saving money. So he can still be in Dallas. Now, we never know if he actually gets sent down or so we'll find that out later if he's actually going to be sent down.
What is the Stars' like financial situation? What is their weakness? Mm-hmm. If you had to name one, and how would Mikko address that?
Okay, so Mikko is a very, very good scorer. You talk about weakness. One of the things that I'm concerned
about. Not scoring
about,
right now. No. Mm-hmm.
Defensively, that's my biggest weakness.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean.
But this is an offensive player.
Exactly. Yeah, Cody Ceci has been a very nice acquisition, but I am worried about that blue line, specifically in the playoffs. Harley. Great player. Esa Lindell, great player. We don't know if Haskinen's going to come back. That timeline seems to be a little bit delayed. So if he can come back, that's great. But Dumba has struggled this year. Ilya Lyubushkin has been good. Bischel's learning. So Nils Lundqvist went down for the season too. So defensively, I'm wondering if they can hold up. Maybe they can just outscore everyone. So that would be the biggest weakness.
And cap-wise?
Cap-wise. So the NHL does something called long-term injured reserve. So if a player gets injured, you can actually use his salary, but that player cannot come back until the playoffs. In the NHL, there's no salary cap in the playoffs. That's what Tampa did with Sergachev a couple of years ago, as well as Vegas did it with Mark Stone last year, and everyone complained. So it's funny. We've complained the last 2 years that this is a bad rule and people are cheating, and actually we could use it now. So the Stars cap-wise for this year are okay, but here's one of the concerns Jim Nill has. He has to sign Wyatt Johnston. He has to sign Matt Duchene. He has to sign Jamie Benn if you want Evgeny Dodonov back. Wyatt Johnston, we're talking about nearly a $10 million player. So that's a lot of cap that has to go future, and that's why he's being careful as far as what contracts he will sign.
Are there other big moves that are being rumored that you're paying attention to that could be headliners, or this is it?
I think this is the biggest deal in the NHL, actually. You will see a lot of players move that you say, like, for instance, Michael Bunting yesterday moved, and you look and like, who the heck's Michael Bunting? Michael Bunting can actually score you a nice goal in like the conference finals. He's a scrapper and stuff. So you're going to see a lot of that player movement to fill out the third and fourth lines. And guys, third and fourth lines in the playoffs are crucial.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, and I need to correct myself. It was actually Kucherov that Tampa put on the
Kucherov.
Yeah.
Boss. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Thank you. And there's some amazing seafood. Ceviche down the hall.
Oh,
to thank you for your efforts.
And shout out to the Spits and Suds listeners that came out to the game last night, and we had a little roundtable discussion that was awesome.
Nice.
Really cool. And I want to say hi to a newest Stars fan, Liam. He's 4 years old and he's liking the Stars.
Okay. And Tolo Chris Navarre loving the trade update as well. Gavin Spittle of the Hockey Hawk Spits and Suds podcast. We crosstalk with a KNC masterpiece next. Let's crosstalk with a KNC masterpiece here. Friday edition of Sean and RJ with Bobby Belt out sick on 105.3 The Fan. Good morning, fellas. Corey, what is coming up?
Guys, puck around and find out at 10:20 today. So we'll dive into some Stars. Hopefully we get some Stars action before our show is done with today. We get some big news. We like that.
How excited are you about this rumor?
Decently excited.
I'm more excited than he is, I think.
Decently excited. You got to go off the assumption that he'll give a crap again.
Yes.
Like he did in Colorado and not like he has with Carolina.
So effort has been
absolutely. Like, I mean, look.
Ability is there.
The ability is there. He does not give a damn about playing in Carolina, and that just makes me a little nervous. Now, I get it that he's going to come to a significantly better situation like he had in Colorado. If that sparks him up, then it's going to be tremendous.
Where would you draw the line with compensation?
Man, it was interesting because the Brock Nelson deal That's another player that I thought the Stars might be in the mix on. That was big time compensation. They gave up a first, a third, and their top prospect. So it feels like it might be, for some of the higher end people, a seller's market.
So this was Darren Drager of TSN.
Just was looking at that.
He said, there is no deal between Dallas and Carolina for Mikko. It appears they have to go back to the drawing board. Doesn't mean a deal and extension with Dallas can't materialize. It's not there as of now. He said, that was this morning. And then later he said that there was a offer from the Stars for $12 million. And that appears to be well short.
Then I'm out. That's,
yeah,
I'm out. If he's not willing to do an extension at 12, let's move on to the next one.
Yeah, I mean, in the discussion, Wyatt at like 9,
yeah,
8 years, yeah, 8 years, $8 million. And then like they're in that range for him. So I don't think, yeah, 14, something that big, too, yeah, big.
There's the Kobe Matt Barnes meme, the basketball.
Yeah.
And it's like they use that meme and it's like Mikko, anytime there's a deal offered less than $14 million and he's Kobe.
Do you think
not even flinching?
Do you think people in DFW are nervous because Mikko sounds,
yes,
like,
yes,
Mikko?
I think they're very, very, yeah, nervous.
Yesterday when we brought that discussion to the table, immediately we started getting texts. So we were like,
I don't want Nico ranting in, and you're like, well, for the record, it's Mikko, but I hear you.
Anything that says Nico, I'm out.
What else you got?
We do have Jared hopping on with us today. We're going to talk a little bit about Jack Leiter being in the rotation, being in the bullpen, that conversation.
It's DeGrom day.
It is DeGrom day today, so let's go get a win. Let's go start the winning early.
You don't care if they win, do you?
I just care that he throws strikes and stays healthy.
That's that part.
What are you more up to date on, Mark Cuban sit down with Channel 8 or Stephen A. versus LeBron? As I didn't hear Stephen A.'s recap of LeBron getting in his face last night.
So it's definitely the second one. I think my answer to the other part is going to make you a little sad. I don't really care what Mark Cuban has to say.
I'm kind of there, too. He sold the team, and I'm mad at him. So I'm mad at him for selling his the team, part of the team that matters. And so I'm kind of out on any. I want the Adelson or the Dumont to say more and apologize as much as they possibly can.
And he just didn't say anything that I thought was, like, interesting or unique. He said, I don't know, what all of us have said. Hey, if we would have got more, then
everybody be happy.
Okay. And you're like, sure, Mark. That's what we all thought when it happened a month and a half ago.
Do you think that Mark Cuban should have vetted the DeMonts or Adelsons over a move like this? Or that's just impossible to foresee when he was selling? Because some fans are mad, like, you did this to us. You should have known that they were capable of something this sinister.
See, I get that because we're all mad, but yeah. I think I'd probably go with the second one. Like, I don't think there's any way he was like, hey, here's my first question. Would you trade Luka?
Right.
Like, it would probably be more about financial infrastructure and stuff like that. So
sure.
But when you sell your home, you're not like, hey, I planted those flowers, yeah, in the bed. Don't, yeah, mess,
like,
with them.
That's part of the deal. You have decided, and Mark Cuban decided, as much as I care about Luka and the Mavericks, I don't care enough to not sell it.
Mm-hmm. Why did LeBron confront Stephen A?
Man.
Why
so,
not?
My fit. Okay, that's fair. Because he's like, you got $100 million? Get the hell out of here.
Did you just see what happened?
So if you listen to Stephen A. Smith this morning, my favorite part of everything that he said is he goes, because of things LeBron heard, and then he stops, pivots back, Euro steps, and then goes, or the things he thinks he thought he heard. And I love it because I was like, man, even in that moment, he's like, I am not going to say anything that I said is true or on the record, or I said anything negative about Bronny. That's the difference, though, right? If you take a personal shot at the kid, I get that. If your main contention is you would not have been drafted if not for your last name, and you most certainly would not have played as a late second round pick, that is totally above board and fine. If there's more to it that I just don't recall hearing,
yeah,
then that's a different deal.
Because every time he's talked about him, he's always brought up, like, he's a good kid.
Yeah.
Like, every time.
Yeah.
And he's like, I feel bad because he's a really good kid. And everything, nobody has ever.
And calls LeBron a good guy,
good dad,
too.
He even said that. He goes, by all accounts,
yeah,
everybody says that LeBron's a really good family guy.
Favorite, sure, man. And you know what? And, like, him trying to get his son in the league, that is what a good dad does.
Sure.
You try to get what's best for, sure, your kid, right? You try to put your kid the best,
well,
position.
Well, I could argue it wasn't best for him.
Because you had to know the blowback.
He is in the NBA, but he's looked at as a charity case.
you know, we all can answer that question differently. Do you want to be looked upon as a charity case, or is it just more important for you to, like, get the job? It would bother me to be viewed as a charity case.
Like, because everybody that you're working with is probably going to look at you the same way and never really bring you into the fold.
I'm not going to every arena and they're like, daddy's boy, like, daddy's boy. That, I mean, that would eat away at me, I think, more than, like, being in the G League.
There is no way to fight that either. Unless you're the greatest, there's no way to defeat that, and people are still going to say it. People are still going to call you that. Just, Kevin, look at this. We're the home of the Cowboys.
Huh?
Is there any way, anything we can do?
Right.
To convince the audience, no matter what, that we're not in Jerry's pocket.
Right.
I think there are some things.
The morning show fight with them.
Literally fight with them.
Yeah.
Do the punch for punch that the guy did in
One of them's going to die.
So I wonder if, like, if he would have stayed in college for two more years, he would have been more like a fringy first-round pick and not gone to the Lakers. Then people could still say that, but you're like, dude, I got drafted by whoever.
Yeah. Do you think that Stephen Jones has shed that moniker?
No, and that's because...
Not from the fans,
son,
right?
Dead son.
But that's because they haven't won, right? If they would have, like, I know this is crazy hyperbole, but let's say they would have won two Super Bowls in the last 5 to 8 years.
Yeah.
Then I think people would have been like, holy crap, let's get Steven in here. He's the next generation.
Because I don't say it about Joe Buck. I'm like, Joe Buck's a stud.
Because people like the job that he does. If the
everybody's going to have haters, but the majority of people, I think, like what he does.
So I think the fact that they don't win is like, well, you're like, you can never get fired. And good for you. Mm. Hooray for nepotism.
Are you guys Monopoly players?
I love the game Monopoly. Are we talking about, like, McDonald's Monopoly, or are we just talking about regular Monopoly?
Oh, regular. Man, McDonald's Monopoly, you get that at the grocery store,
never
right?
Gotten,
yes.
I've never gotten the $1 million either.
I want the $1 million.
McDonald's getting rid of Playscape. Play Place? Or Playscape?
Playscape's Play Place.
Play Place, the gym inside, whatever that is. And then Monopoly's changing things up.
They're eliminating cash.
Oh.
They are using a smartphone
app. Because of the tariffs. Oh.
Yeah, it's a wonderful, beautiful world.
So
the Monopoly app banking, that's what it's going to be called. You got to buy the game. The game's $24.99.
Okay.
But you got also, the app is free.
Okay.
But there will be no more cash. You're going to use everything through the app. It's going to, you know, give you your refunds through the app, make your change through the app.
Is this a reflection of society, break up all the fights for people thinking the banker is cheating?
It's probably to break up all the fights. But, like, you know, your trains, they don't really have names anymore. It's just a picture of the train. The moon is number one. That's the Betts Boardwalk. And Park Place is the rocket launch pad on this new game. So it's changed things up a little bit. Chocolate Factory is the first one on the board. Was that Baltic?
Baltic, yeah.
That's Chocolate Factory. Yeah. And Mediterranean is an ice cream skating rink.
What?
Yeah.
You know what? It makes sense. This actually really does make sense.
The kids, man.
This is teaching the kids, what, you know, spend your money here.
You should aspire to go to the moon. Yeah. So I guess astronauts are the number one job.
I've always wanted to play Monopoly with my wife's family because everybody in her family has told me that my mother-in-law cheats at games, and that's why she wants to be the banker. So that's what I immediately thought is, like, is this to eliminate banker cheating?
Would you let your mother-in-law win?
Hell no.
Oh!
Do you like her?
She's great.
You've never seen her competitive side?
Oh, I've seen it, but I've not seen this alleged cheating
that
multiple people in the family have been like, oh, she'll cheat.
Does she, if she loses at something... Does she pout? Does she walk off?
She can get irritated, which I understand.
How do you guys draw the line? And I'm deciding this with my kid between poor loser, crybaby whiner, and Michael Jordan competitor.
I mean, it's probably partially at least the age at this point, right?
No, but even like a 12-year-old. Take a 12-year-old who has a meltdown over a strikeout, and you're like, oh my gosh, is this like Kobe competition where Nico would say that?
Yeah.
Or is this, man, this is a poor loser.
Here's how you can tell.
Crybaby.
If they start to cry, just a poor loser. If they stop, turn, look at the pitcher, and then kind of walk off thinking never again, then you're like, I got a Jordan.
I got a 12-year-old. He has meltdowns, but his meltdowns are over not wanting to get his hair cut. or what he has to wear. Would I try to put a suit on him for my dad's funeral?
I thought you said they wanted to wear the suits. You didn't want to wear the suit.
I didn't want to wear the suit.
Did they have the meltdown?
They were going to wear, they were told to wear a suit.
Okay.
Yeah, they had a meltdown.
They didn't want to, you're saying.
No, they didn't want, well, one, no, they didn't want to at all. They don't want to get their hair cut. And then when they do want to get their hair cut, they want a $50 haircut.
Are you
instead of a great clips or sport clips or
a John Gruden. Are you, that's another thing about parenting haircuts. Are you, you feel like you have a say?
No.
Nope.
No, I have no say.
Nope. But yesterday you were like fighting him.
I know,
about you're going to get your hair cut.
I see, I told him he's going to get it cut. Like he can get it however he wants.
Okay.
But he's going to get it cut.
What, is it just out of control?
They look like an alpaca.
They all do. They all look like alpaca.
Who started that?
I don't know.
No, no.
These nuts.
But like, you know, if they just, I want to get a half inch cut off. I'm like, that's not going to do anything.
Yeah.
That's not going to do anything. So you got to, what you got to do is you got to go to the girl who cuts the hair, or the guy, whatever. So they have the same girl that cuts their hair. And I'm like, hey, you know, like trim like an inch off.
Yeah.
But tell them you're only trimming a half inch off. They'll never know. They'll never know the difference.
Exactly.
They're too dumb.
They're too dumb.
Dumb teenagers.
They're on the phone. They don't even look up.
Yeah. Have a fantastic weekend. We are back on Monday. The KNC Masterpiece is next on 105.3 The Fan.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen, alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.